Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the person of the book. Well, if you're taking notes tonight, we're going to look at the author, okay? Let's look at the author of the book. Now we know that Paul is the writer, okay? Paul is the writer here. He's the writer of 13 books of our New Testaments, including the book of Hebrews. Some disagree, and that's okay. If you don't believe he wrote Hebrews, I'm not going to fall out with you. So, in your mind, he has written 12 books. We know that he has written 12 books because he addresses them as the author of the 12 books. The book of Hebrews, he does not address them as the author, but it is in the same style and writing of Paul. And so I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and it's not named who wrote it, but I believe Paul wrote it. But because he talked about that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he was the Jew of all Jews, he was zealous in the things of the Jewish religion, and he understood the things of, and that's why there's where I draw my conclusion of him being the author of the book of Hebrews. But understand this, there is no discrepancies and or no questions when it comes to the author of this book. Here, the first word, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Paul's the person, but we also know that Paul's not the power that wrote the book. We know this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. It is God-inspired. This is a Holy Ghost, God-inspired book. Why do we have it preserved for us? Because, remember, these things were written for our admonition and our examples upon whom the end of this world has come. But it's been written for our learning that we might understand the goodness and the grace of God in our lives and what Christ means to us and what Christ can mean to us. Now, Paul is writing here, and as he's writing this book, he's writing there to a group of believers, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. But notice the position. We see the person, but notice the position. The position that Paul declares himself to have is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I know if you get caught up in the televangelism and you get caught up on some radio programs and you go to the Christian, quote, Christian bookstore today, you're going to find a whole lot of apostles, okay? There's apostle this and apostle that. Well, what clarifies an apostle? What defines an apostle? How could Paul say Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ? Well, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts, chapter number 13. Understand this today. There's this group and these gentlemen, and there's even some ladies that call themselves apostles. But according to the Word of God, they are not apostles, okay? And we're going to define that word today, and we're going to look at it. And we're going to see what the Word of God has. And so maybe when a member of your family or maybe someone you're visiting with or maybe someone you're witnessing to or maybe you're invited to go hear a true apostle, maybe this will help you to have a biblical understanding and a biblical defense of why they're not true apostles. Okay? Look in Acts chapter 13, verse number 2. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Paul says, he said, my position, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to say this. An apostle must be called by God. Go to Acts chapter number 9. understand the apostles here. I'm sorry, let's go to, keep your hand, finger there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 first. Let me read that verse first. Acts, Romans, 1st and 2 Corinthians. I'm coming back to Acts 9. Let's go to 2 Corinthians first. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 11. Paul has besought the Lord thrice that he might remove the thorn in his flesh. God has come back to him in verse number 9, and he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And he writes, he's writing here, Paul's speaking now, "Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities," I'm in verse 10, "in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I have ought to been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Paul says, he defines himself, he says, "I am the behind the very chiefest of the apostles." Okay? Paul is declaring himself as an apostle. But just because one declares himself as an apostle does not mean that they are a true apostle. We see, first of all, they must be called by God. An apostle's qualifications. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're going back to Acts, so just hold your finger there. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let's look at the first qualifications of an apostle. And I was supposed to went to Acts 1 instead of Acts 13 a while ago, so that's why I got a little confused. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says, verse number 1, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free?" Look what he says. "Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" An apostle's qualifications. Number one, they must be called by God. But number two, they must have laid their eyes on the Lord. Go to First Acts chapter 1, verse 22. They were looking. Judas has went out and hanged himself. They're looking for one to replace. In verse number 15, "In those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, 'Men and brethren, the Scripture must needs have been fulfilled.'" He was, verse 17, "He was numbered with us and have to take part of this ministry." And he talks about, "Now this man is purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst of all of his bowels." Now, look in verse number 21. He said, "Wherefore, these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of what? His resurrection." A true apostle was a witness of a resurrected Jesus Christ. Okay? That is a qualification of an apostle. Go to Acts chapter number 9, verse number 15. An apostle is chosen by the Lord. Okay? It's not an office or a position that he takes to himself. He must be chosen by the Lord. We look at Acts chapter number 9, verse number 15. The Bible said, "Paul has seen the light and heard the voice on the road to Damascus. He has He's been told to go to Ananias' house. Ananias, the Holy Ghost, can go speak to Ananias about this. And look in verse number 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the kings and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Understand this. He was called by God. He was a chosen vessel by God. Remember, as the Jesus walked on the seashore that day, and he looked at Peter and James and John, and he said, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now understand, there was many that were followers of Jesus. But he also said, Many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? So, these 12 were chosen, and Paul was one born out of due times, what he describes himself, and that he was seen of the Lord. Look in chapter, not only the apostles' qualifications is that they must have seen the Lord, they must have been a witness of the resurrected Lord, they must be called by God, but notice in chapter 2, verse number 43, Acts chapter 2, verse number 43. Here is a sign of an apostle. Notice what, let's read verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by who? The apostles. Not of the whole church, but by the apostles. There were 3,000, 5,000, 3,000 that had just got saved. But they weren't all apostles. The Lord Jesus Christ was seen of above 500 brethren after the resurrection, but they were not apostles. They didn't have the signs and the wonders. Okay? The apostles had the signs and the wonders of the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. We've looked at verse number 11. He said, I'm behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. But look at verse number 12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. An apostle was able to perform miracles of signs and wonders. Paul said, I'm the chiefest. And he says, you've seen signs and wonders of miracles. He said, I'm behind the very chiefest. And you've seen the signs and wonders and miracles of the apostles. Remember, Peter, as the man laid at the gate, he said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And in the name of Jesus, he said, Take up thy bed and walk. And the man got up and walked. There were signs and wonders when Peter spoke, and the fire of his tongue was as cloven fire, and every man heard in his own language. The apostles had power to heal diseases and heal the sick. Remember, the Jews required a sign. They needed something. They had been told all their life about God, and that no man could see God at any time. Right? That if any man looked upon God, that he would be killed. Remember when Moses came off the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face because his glory has shone so that he couldn't minister before the Lord because they couldn't look at him. The high priest one time a year had the privilege to go in before a thrice holy God to meet with God to meet with God personally. But he went in by the blood of another. Well, you also remember that he had pomegranates and bells at the hem of his garment, that if they heard the bells quit ringing, they was literally a rope tied to his feet, that if they heard the bells quit dingling and from his walking and moving about, that they would drag him out because there was no one allowed to go in to approach God. Okay? But now, the disciples are going and telling everyone, this same Jesus that you crucified, this was God. Well, how could it be God? How could God die? How? And they had to have signs and wonders performed among them because the Bible says that Jews require a sign. So they had signs and wonders performed among them to prove to them that the apostles were true. Okay? So, they were truly done signs and wonders of an apostles. And they were wrought among them. And everybody said, well, you know, there's apostles on TV and they have these powers. And, well, why do they charge for it? Okay? Why do they charge for the power? You know, I mean, Benny Hinn, you know, he used to breathe and everybody would fall out. And I'm like, man, that's the worst case of bad breath I've ever seen. Can you imagine? Huh? He's not an apostle. They've never seen the resurrected Lord physically. Paul seen him on the road to Damascus. He said, I've seen him. I was one born out of due time. He said, but I've seen him. So, we understand today, there's preachers and, you know, there's ministers and there's missionaries and there's evangelists, but anyone that calls themselves an apostle, you better be very leery of it because they're unbiblical. Okay? So, we see the apostles' qualifications, and Paul was qualified in his position to be an apostle. But notice the authority that he speaks with. Let's go back to Colossians chapter number 1. We see the author, we see the person, we see his position, and we see his qualifications of his position as an apostle. Second thing we want to look at is the authority that he had. Go back to Colossians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, how? By the will of God. Paul says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, not in my own power, but in the power of God. Now, I don't write to you in my own authority. I have no authority. He says, but I'm writing to you, and I'm coming to you, and I'm an apostle by the will of God. Paul did not act under his own authority, but he had a direct commission from God at his conversion. And may I say this today, and there's a crowd today, there is no commission without conversion. I've had a preacher preach in this church, and I could call his name, and you would know him. And God has used him, but when he was going to Bible college as a preacher, he was lost. He got saved at Bible college. Mark Curran, he got saved at Bible college. When he told, we were sitting in the truck one of the first times he came, and he was telling me, and he told me where he went to school, and it's an independent Baptist college, and I could name the preacher, and you'd know it, and all that. I don't have much respect for the man. He's got a salesman attitude. He's done died and gone now, but anyway, he said, and it wasn't Tabernacle, okay? So, we'll go. He said, well, this is what I went to. He said, I went to this college. He's out Midwest. I said, I'm sorry. And he said, well, I am too. He said, but I'm glad. He said, it's weird that you think that. He said, because everybody thinks that's the greatest place in the world. I said, that place has turned out more heretics and more salesmen of the gospel than any other Bible college. And this man's raved about. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, Brother Mark got to tell me, and he said, I realized while I was there, he said, I didn't have the goods. And he said, I got saved. And he said, when I got saved, he said, God done something in my heart and in my life. And he said, I had to leave the college because it wasn't what it was being presented to be. And he said, and I thought I was a preacher. He said, but then God called me to preach. So understand this. There is no commission without a conversion. And the problem today is that people say, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a pastor. God bless you. I love you all, every one of you. And I'm thankful. But I'm only here by the will of God. When I say that, I don't do it begrudgingly. But I could find a whole lot, and I don't have a big church. I could find a whole lot stressful, worry-free job than what I have.
Amen.
I don't want the burden, but God gives me grace through the burden. But there's a crowd out there today, they want the commission without conversion. And you can't have the commission till you get the conversion. Paul says, I didn't choose this myself. And in another place he writes, he says, I didn't put myself in this office. He said, God put me there. And he says here, he says, Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. He says, I'm writing to you, and I don't come to you in my authority. I'm coming to you in the authority of God that converted me and then commissioned me to be in this position to write unto you. And honestly, if we pastors and preachers would have the mindset that I have the only position that I have and the only authority that I have is that I am commissioned by God. It's not in my own power. It's not in my own way. I'm commissioned by God. Look in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 11. Why there's so much heresy today coming out of the pulpit? Because there's so much heresies in the hearts of those who says they've been called. Okay? There's very few of them been saved. You say, how do you know that? How can you deny the blood of Jesus Christ and stand and preach the gospel? How can you deny a virgin birth and stand and preach the gospel? How can you say abortion is okay and be called by God?
Amen.
How can you agree with the LGBTQ movement and be called by God?
Amen.
You're in direct offense and enmity against the Word of God.
Amen.
And Paul says, I didn't take this office to myself. Notice here, look at Galatians chapter 1, verse number 11. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, I didn't get this thing from man. He says, I'm not mama called and daddy sent. He said, I didn't get this because brother so-and-so had it. He said, I'm not telling you something that I got from some man. He says, what I'm writing to you is by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I certify this, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He said, this is not a man's gospel. This is God's word. This is God's story. And he says, for I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we see his authority that he writes with and that he comes to the church at Colossae with. And understand, the church at Colossae, there were many different religions going on. You had the Gnostics, and they had all the superpower knowledge. Then you had those who kind of were like the Grecians and or the Greek gods, and they worshiped they had some astrology, and they had some gods of the world in their worship. And then you had some that were mixed up with Dinah, and you had all of these different religions in this Colossae city. And Paul was writing to them, and he was telling them, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to tell you some things. And as we get in the book of Colossians, we'll see, he goes to remember, he's talking about beware lest he may spoil you through vain philosophy and the deceit, and after all that other, we looked at that in chapter number 3, we showed some of those things. Well, he said, I'm going to give you some wisdom, and I'm going to give you some direction, and give you some doctrine in your life. But it's not because of who I am, but it's by the will of God. So understand this. When you and I read a book in this Bible, excuse me, we must understand that it's not man's writing. It's by the will of God. When a man of God stands and preaches the truth and the whole counsel of the Word of God, okay, we can like it, lump it, bump it, gum it, whatever, but if he is in the Word of God, and it doesn't matter if it goes against every grain and fiber of our being, we must understand that it's God's Word. And that man is coming not in his own authority and in his own power, but he's coming by the will of God to give us the truth. Okay? And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, I'm telling you, I'm not speaking of my own authority. And God help us that we would have a pastor or a preacher or a teacher that would teach after his own authority. God help me never to be one that teaches after my own authority. Because the Bible teaches about those men and they're greedy of great gain. And their teachers have an itch in ears. And so what I'm saying is this, we may not like what the Word of God has to say, but we must understand, Paul said, I didn't receive this by man. I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what I'm telling you, and I'm certifying it to you, that it's true. So when he's writing to the church of Colossae, he says, I'm an apostle by the will of God. I'm not coming in my own authority. I'm not coming in my own power. He says, I am who I am by the will of God, and I'm writing this letter to you by the will of God. So, there again, there's a lot of things that I have come across in the Word of God that didn't sit real well with me. Why? Because it went against my grain of my life that I was going. It's kind of like rubbing that hair of that cat. If you care enough for a cat to pet it, God bless you. But, you know, anyway, I can think of a whole lot of other things to be done to them. But, you know, how do you rub against... Well, like a dog. A dog's man's best friend. You rub against the grain of that hair and how it causes it to rough. All right. Sometimes the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God rubs against the grain of my life. I don't like it. It's it's uncomfortable. But if it's coming out of the Word of God and the man of God is teaching or preaching out of the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, then what can I say? I can't get my feathers ruffled. I can't get mad at him because he's preaching the truth. Paul says, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? So he's coming in an authority that's not of his own. And he's making that... And understand how he starts that off. I mean, he don't even get five words into the letter. And he says, Paul, and an apostle, by the will of God. He didn't write the letter and say, and oh yeah, just so you know, this is not my saying, this is what God said. He starts off with, I'm an apostle by the will of God. I come in the authority that God has given me. So, now notice his accompaniment. Go back to the book of Colossians. And Timotheus, our brother, which is Timothy. Now, so notice here, Paul did not call Timothy an apostle. He says, Timothy, my brother. Another place he calls him Timothy, my son. If everyone could be an apostle, that Timothy could have been an apostle. Okay? But he didn't call him an apostle. He says, and then Timothy, my brother. But notice here, he didn't write him as a son neither. Because understand this, there's one thing when I look at Caleb, and there's a order, and I don't know if hierarchy is the right term, but there's an order to a father and a son. But there's an equality of brothers. Does that make sense? When he wrote to them that Timothy, my son in the faith, it was in a term of endearment. But when Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, and I'll give you some background about this in just a moment, he said, this is Timothy, my brother. He's my equal. He's not an apostle, but he's my brother. So, he understand this, that Paul addressed Timothy, I believe, according to my study, and I'll be done in a few minutes. According to my study, this was Timothy's hometown area. Say maybe he was from Duke's Creek. Okay? He was riding to Shoal Creek or riding to Cleveland, the church at Cleveland. Well, you know, years ago, everybody knew everybody. Okay? Well, it'd be like, let's do Mount View. Okay? Because I got Brother Bobby here. Cleveland, I'm writing to you. I'm coming to you. You don't know me because, understand, Paul had never known these people. He'd never been here before. Okay, so that's another reason he's declared. All he's done ever done is heard of this city. Heard of this church. Now, he's come through here preaching, but he's never met the people in the church. And he says, you may not know me, but you know Timothy. I'm writing to you, and Bobby's with me. Bobby Hunt? Oh, yeah, we know Bobby. Okay? Kind of gives some authority. Does that make sense? It gives some recognition. It settles it out. And he says, it's not that Bobby, that I'm great. Bobby's my brother. That's why I believe he was writing. Timothy was a fellow prisoner with Paul at this time in jail, and he was bound there with him, but Timothy also was known in that area of Colossae. And so when Paul said, Timothy is with me, what he was saying is, I want you to know that you and I have a common denominator, and that common denominator is not just Jesus Christ, but Timothy. Okay? So, his accompaniment is with Timothy. Now notice, and let me say this, he said, our brother. Someone asked me one time, why we use the term brother? I was riding up the road, and it was a family member, and we was riding up the road, and we was going to Cowsell in South Carolina, and he said, why do y'all use the term brother? Why do y'all call everybody brother so-and-so? This was years ago. I said, because it's biblical. Biblical. And they go to church. And they said, biblical. And I said, yeah. All my, the brethren, brother. Paul said, Timothy, my brother. And I said, it's a term of respect. It's a term of identification of family.
Right.
He said, huh, I didn't know that. Paul was writing here and he said, Timothy, he's my brother. You know, it's Brother Green. It's Brother Bobby. It's Brother David. It's Sister Joan. It's, you know, it's just a term of respect. It's a term of connection. It's a term of endearment, you know. Huh? A belonging. Yeah, that's my brother in Christ. You know, that's my sister in Christ. That's my, you know. So that's where we get that term. Paul here addressed him as brother, you know. Now, let's go on a little bit, and let me say this. We're part of the family of God, but notice in verse 2, he don't call them brother, he calls them what? Brethren. No, go on, I'm sorry, to the saints and faithful what? Brethren. He says, he didn't know these people. Because you're going to go on down, and Paul says, I've just heard of you. I've heard of your faith. He said, but we're brethren. He said, I'm writing to you with Timothy, my brother, and we're all brethren, to the saints and to the brethren, all right? Thank God we don't have to walk alone. Let's go back to the part about accompaniment with Timothy. Thank God we don't have to walk alone. Aren't you glad that God puts some people in your life? Sometimes we do find ourselves carrying burdens and struggles, and the nights are so long and dreary, and it seems we're all alone. But understand this, God does not intend for us always to be alone. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Paul says, I'm in prison here, but I'm being accompanied by Timothy. Aren't you glad that God put some people in your life?
Amen.
That you're not alone. You got somebody to fellowship with. You got somebody to bear burdens with. You got somebody to go visit with. You got somebody to go have fun with. You had somebody help you to work, but now they... most of them are like blisters. They show up when the work's done. Amen. But thank God we have people to walk with that He didn't... I mean, you ever thought, Lord, thank you that I'm not on the Isle of Patmos? John was exiled over there on the Isle of Patmos by himself. And I'm like, man, sometimes I'd like to be alone. I really would. I mean, I'd just like to have no telephone, no contact. I don't want to be a castaway. Amen. Sometimes I'd like just to... be sequestered. And I don't want to go to prison either. I don't want that 6x6 wall. I want the freedom to enjoy it. But aren't you glad that you're not alone?
Amen.
I mean, we got Christ, but aren't you glad you got people with you?
Amen.
But notice his audience, and I'll be done. Because I got to get through it. I'm not going to get all the way through it. The audience is to the saints and faithful brethren. And I'll say this, and we'll pick this up next week. You're saints by separation, but you're brethren by birth. Okay? As he that which has called you is holy, be ye holy. The word saints means one that is set apart. We have been sanctified and separated and set aside as saints by His choosing. It's by sanctification. Okay? We are saints because we're sanctified by Him. But we're brethren because we're born again by Him. And we're seeing that's the audience that He's addressing them there. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. What signifies a saint and what signifies a brother. And I know we don't always feel like saints. Sometimes we think we're all saints, and sometimes we think we're the saint of saints, and then sometimes we don't even know that there's a Saint Bernard in our house. I mean, you know, we feel so low. But we're called to be saints. But I got this, and I'll just share this with you, and I don't want to give in too much into next week. He said, saints and what brethren? He said, faithful brethren. And I seen that today, Brother Green. I thought, man, there's a lot of brothers out there.
Right.
There's not a lot of faithful brothers.
Right.
And then he goes on and says, since we heard of your faith. And I wrote down in my Bible, what does others hear about you? I mean, Paul hadn't been through there. Some time ago, back in the book of Acts, he came through that area preaching. He's ended up, this is years later, he's ended up in prison. But this is what they say about that church. Boy, they sure are doing a great work down there. They're faithful. That's a faithful crowd. They're facing some trials and tribulation, but their faith is standing strong. They're faithful to the gospel. They're faithful to to what God's called them to do. They're faithful. And I thought, man, I wonder what the world, not just the world, but other brethren are hearing about me. He says, since we heard of your faith. Because understand this, there is somebody out there. Your name come across their lips today. And if it didn't today, it will tomorrow. Okay? You're not that secluded or excluded. Your name's going to come off somebody's lips. But what are they going to be saying about you when it does come off? And I thought, oh, my soul. Since we heard of your faith, I'm like, man, I hope you hear good things about me. But anyway, we'll pick that up. We can't handle no more. Father, I love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege you give us to be in God's house tonight.